Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first Arty News podcast brought to you by Raymond Tech. This is a weekly digest of tech news curated to reduce the nerd factor. Every day, we post a brief summary of 3 to 6 articles on our site, and this podcast will be a roundup and expansion of all the news we've covered throughout the week. I'm going to be talking about these in order of topic rather than chronological order for 2 reasons. First, it makes the show flow better. Second, I plan to put the good news at the end so we can leave each other on a high note. I guess what I mean to say is stick with it. It will get better. Let's get the data breaches and exposures out of the way first. I can't talk about data breaches this week without first talking about the Marriott hack, or technically the Starwood hack. Starwood is a hotel chain purchased by Marriott in 2016. It was hacked in 2014, and the breach wasn't discovered until September of this year. That's 4 years of continual access of data. Without exaggeration, this is the largest data breach in history. Somewhere around 500 million people have had their data looted. Details as of this writing are scant on the who's, what's, and how's, but Marriott has already set up a website to get information out and is providing a free 1-year subscription to WebWatch, an identity theft monitoring site. Links in the show notes. Revealed last week and reported by us on Sunday the 25th, the U.S. Postal Service has exposed about 60 million users' data through a security hole that is now plugged. Dell and Dunkin' Donuts both got hacked on November 9th and October 31st, respectively. These attacks were identified as they were happening. Both security teams deserve a big pat on the back for that. Dell is claiming that no data was actually taken, but still recommends changing passwords on several of their sites. Dunkin' knows whose accounts were attacked and already forced a password reset on those accounts, but even if your Dunkin' Donuts Perks account data wasn't stolen, I'd recommend you change your password. Australia's Defense Department was breached through the lack of security of some of its small and medium-sized IT contractors. Most of these attacks were launched by state-sponsored hackers from China. A company few people have ever heard of, named Voxox, exposed millions of text messages. Here's why it's important. Voxox handles two-factor authentication for many big-name companies. Real quick, two-factor authentication, or 2FA, is where you log into a website and then that website sends you a text message with numbers in it to verify it's really you. It was those texts that got stolen. Not just the texts, but the phone numbers and all the data necessary to hijack accounts. For details on what companies used Voxox, see the show notes. That's it for data breaches we reported this week. Now for something equally depressing, security threats. China's rideshare company Didi has a track record as bad or worse than Uber or Lyft. 2 women were murdered by their drivers earlier this year in 2 separate incidents in China. The populace went on a hashtag boycott Didi, and the rides dropped. Well, the Chinese government has a stake in Didi, so they've set out new testing, rules, and regulations to make sure the apps are safer. While we're talking about cars, if you rent cars a lot or you loan your personal vehicle to friends, you may want to look into an app called Privacy for Cars. That's the number 4. An industry group, with the help of the makers of the app, have recently discovered a hack where you could steal people's personal information via the data that syncs from their phone to the Bluetooth in their car's infotainment system. Moving on. A report we mentioned in the Sunday edition of the Daily Digest says password reuse and social engineering are still the top 2 methods attackers use to break into systems. We also mentioned in the Digest on the 28th, phishing email attacks are expected to be up this holiday season as reported by Carbon Black, a big data IT security company. Humans are generally the weak link in any security chain, and I'm gonna keep saying it. Stop reusing your passwords and think twice before you click links or open attachments and emails, even from people you trust. Speaking of things you shouldn't trust, apparently there's a group of persistent hackers that keep making advertisements to redirect you to scam sites. They performed their biggest scam to date by making their way onto a big-name advertising site in the middle of November. Here's a tip to help you avoid this malicious advertising, or what security guys call malvertising. Original, right? If you click on an ad, and then it cycles through a bunch of different websites, close the browser immediately. You're being redirected to a scam. Advertising sites, like Google's AdSense, verify that ads are real by checking the website that it goes to, but it's an automated process and their bots aren't perfect. That's how these kind of scams get through. No ad should redirect you through more than one website. These attackers used a bunch of redirects to obfuscate the eventual destination. If you're on Facebook, make sure you lock down your profile. We reported on November 28th a scam that has gotten a lot of attention recently. A scammer took public photos from a woman's Facebook account of her child and set up a GoFundMe to get money from people. Meanwhile, in India, scammers there started using Google Maps to fish for bank details from customers. They use Google Maps crowdsourced information to insert their own phone numbers as bank contact numbers, effectively making it so that people call them with their banking questions. So now you're not just getting a random phone call from someone asking for your bank details, you're actually calling them and giving them out. They go through the process of verifying the caller's identity and get all the information they need to steal the person's identity. So for the time being, and again, this has only happened in India, but it just makes sense, go to the company's website directly rather than relying on details you find elsewhere. Here are the last two items in security threats. You got one threat lurking at home. That's your router. That's the device that grants you access to the internet. According to industry sources, more than 45,000 home routers have been compromised by a private hacking group for as yet unknown purposes. Could be for zombification of your system, which basically means they take over your system and use it for crypto mining to make themselves money. It could be for a distributed denial of service attack where your computer then floods some website with a bunch of traffic along with a bunch of other computers that have been compromised, something like that. But nobody knows for sure. These attacks are possible through vulnerable, out-of-date software on these routers. It allows attackers to talk directly to computers and other devices on your home network from anywhere in the world. If you have a power bank or an external battery to charge your mobile devices while on the go, it is now theoretically possible to use those to steal data from your Android devices. This is a long shot, so don't panic, don't throw out your battery pack, nothing like that. My advice here is to only purchase these units from places you can trust and from suppliers whose names you've heard of. Don't buy that random brand off of Amazon that you've never heard of before, and never borrow one or use a public one like they have in malls and other places like that. If you're going to charge up your phone, do it in your car, at home, or with a power bank that you know the name of the company who made it. Moving on to privacy concerns. The one that stands out most this week is that insurance companies are monitoring use of CPAP machines to ensure they're being used as directed. To me, this feels like an invasion of privacy, but I'll let you do your own reading rather than editorializing it. In Germany, they're proposing a set of rules governing how new home and small office routers operate. This could be a good thing or a bad thing. Opinions on these guidelines are split. There are some good suggestions, but many privacy advocates feel telecommunications companies in Germany have had too much of a role in the design of the proposed mandate. An article posted Monday on Daily, that's HMM Daily, indicates that some support chatters can read as you type into those support boxes on websites. So make sure you're nice, boys and girls. Santa and support are watching. In a reversal of years of password policy, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or the NIST, has removed the recommendation that users be forced to change complex passwords regularly because it didn't reduce people reusing passwords. The NIST now recommends multi-factor authentication with strong passwords as the standard. Finally, in privacy concerns, we have an important issue I urge all of you in the U.S. to contact your senators about. There's a bill that's already passed the House and is now before the Senate to make the Register of Copyrights a presidentially appointed position. I don't care what side of the political divide you're on. I don't care who you voted for. This isn't a matter of blocking anybody. This isn't a matter of obstruction. The Register of Copyrights should not be presidentially appointed, period. The Register of Copyrights protects intellectual property and influences fair use policies. Having this position tied to either end of the political divide is a terrible idea for everyone. A quick summary of the headlines that didn't fit into other categories. A woman in Michigan was told by a healthcare facility to take to social media to raise the funds necessary for a heart transplant this week. The state of Ohio will now accept Bitcoin for paying certain types of taxes. Google is axing another one of its social media services. Google Hangouts will no longer function sometime in 2020. Netflix has decided not to renew a third Marvel Comics show, Daredevil. A Psychology Today article discusses how to use creative artificial intelligence to rewrite all those dystopian nightmares into something that doesn't feel dreadful. Microsoft has won a military contract to create an augmented reality training ground using its HoloLens headset and real weapons. And finally, Chinese exporters have created an app to allow quick digital payment for Kenyan importers, making movement of goods and money safer and more secure. For our final segment, all the stuff that should make you feel warm and fuzzy for the technological future we're barreling towards. A company named ChargePoint has geared up for its next round of expansion. They currently have 57,000 public or semi-public, whatever that means, charging spots around the U.S. This is good news for the environment and the economy. Funding this round has come from a variety of sources, even within the fossil fuel industry, namely Chevron. Microsoft worked with New Delhi, India police forces this week to take down 63 people and 26 call centers that have been running fake technical support scams. This should mean less of those obnoxious phone calls for the holiday season. Thank you, Microsoft. Social media giants Facebook and YouTube are rolling out changes soon. Facebook will update their Messenger app with the ability to delete messages from the recipient's inbox as well as your own. No more having to worry about being too mean or sending drunk Facebook messages, if that's a thing. Now you can delete it before the person ever sees it. And YouTube will be releasing all its future premium content to everyone soon. Now the content will be ad-supported. This is actually really good news because the wide variety of streaming services makes it worse for content creators because piracy has actually ticked up a bit this year, according to some sources. I also don't need to pay $9.99 or $12.99 or whatever it is a month to 12 different services. Now I'm paying that $300 cable bill again, and it defeats the purpose. In happy news for commuters, several Nevada transportation agencies teamed up with a tech firm called Waycare to test a year-long pilot program on I-15 in Las Vegas. Waycare pulls data from connected cars, road cameras, and apps like Waze to predict and prevent traffic issues. The number of crashes has dropped by almost 20% during this pilot. AWS, or Amazon Web Services, has designed and released their own tiny computers for use in their cloud services. Here's why this is good news, and why it's exciting for everyone. AWS hosts a large swath of the internet. Many startups begin here, and many of the world's largest companies, like Netflix, rely on Amazon's networks and computers to make the internet happen. With these new, smaller, cheaper computers, AWS has made it easier and cheaper for startups to adjust how much they're using. How much network bandwidth, how much computing power, all that. It allows a finer balance between profitability and service. That means more cool innovation for everyone. That's very exciting. Finally, our last article for the week, and the one that is most exciting to me, as it has the potential to change lives for the better forever. I'm talking about BrainGate 2. It's a brain implant that can read a person's brain waves in real time. Before you ever decide to reach out and grab your phone, for instance, your brain is sending an electrical signal to your muscles to make that happen. For individuals who are paralyzed in some way, missing limbs, something like that, BrainGate recognizes the instruction to move the limb, even though the limb never receives it. What BrainGate does then is interface with whatever device they want to interact with, whether that's a phone, a tablet, or even an advanced prosthetic limb. Now the user can naturally and intuitively maneuver and interact in an unadapted environment. That, my friends, is why technological advancement is important. We all know and hear about the risks every day. Some of us have even been affected by those risks, but if we can start granting the ability of movement and interactivity to those who lack it, it makes all the drawbacks worth it. And with that sense of hope, I'll leave you with the rest of your Sunday. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll update you when we get listed on iTunes so you can rate, subscribe, and review there. If you have suggestions, please, by all means, reach out to me. Comments on the Facebook page, send me DMs on Twitter, whatever you want. Keep an eye on RaymondTech.com for more news and updates, and have a great week.